the challenges of life. So next week, we're going to talk about the question, do you believe I can do this? When Jesus is confronted by two blind men that are desiring to be healed and they're needing a miracle, and Jesus asks them, do you believe I can do this? On Palm Sunday, he's going to talk to the paralytic man at the Pool of Bethesda, and he's going to ask him a question, do you want to get well? On the triumphant Sunday, when Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, God doesn't leave us laying in the wallow of our misery only so that he can be going through the challenges and trials in his life and be raised from the dead. God wants to raise us too. He wants us to seek and experience new life. So we're going to tackle that question. And on Easter Sunday, the question that he asks Thomas, doubting Thomas, you know, the guy who has been labeled his entire life for thousands of years beyond, doubting Thomas, he asks him that question, why do you doubt? And on Easter Sunday, we want to talk about spiritual doubts, and we're going to tackle spiritual doubts as we experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And throughout all this, God and Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit is going to counsel us. I hope you're excited. I'm looking forward to the next 4 weeks. But for today's work, we're going to tackle this question of why are you so afraid? If God is so faithful, why are you so afraid? And we're going to talk about the stormy seas and the disciples' boat that might have been possibly swamped. And we're going to look at actually the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And in that situation, Jesus has been teaching all day on the hillside. As a matter of fact, there's so many people in the crowd that he's teaching that day. Where is he standing as his pulpit? He's standing in a boat because he has no more room, and he's been pushed out of that boat, and he's standing in the boat. And so when he's done with the teaching, they just kind of remain in the boat, and he says, let us go across the sea. And so they cross the Sea of Galilee, and that's where this picks up. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 37. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Now, I can't honestly say to you I've been in a boat that is about to be swamped by a storm, but I have been in a plane flying from Tokyo, Japan, down to Ho Chi Minh City, Vietnam, that felt like it was about to crash land to the ground because the turbulence was so bad. Anybody ever been flying and you feel like the turbulence is bad enough that you're just ready for the oxygen masks to pop out of the ceiling and this is going to be the end? Now, the problem with this is that not only am I terrified because we're going through so much turbulence and I'm just praying, oh God, you know, rescue us from this, is that I had just finished having dinner. Now, when you have dinner on a Japanese flight, you get served all kinds of incredible things, and I think what I had was seafood surprise. I think there were some tentacles that were in it, there were some suction cups sticking out of some of the things that I was eating, and that was all in my stomach. Now, for me, it was kind of good, but it's not good when you're being shaken like a snow globe when you're sitting in the middle of a plane and you're feeling like you're about to go down. So my prayer was, oh God, please rescue us from this. Oh God, keep the seafood surprise where it needs to be. And so I'm in this moment where I'm struggling in these trials and in these challenges, and I'm just crying out to God. I'm in a scary situation. I'm just praying, oh God, rescue me from this. And so the disciples are thinking, we're in a full-blown panic. This boat is about to go down. Oh God, rescue us from this. And perhaps since they've been by the seashore at seaside all day long, they've had seafood surprise too. I don't know. But you understand the scene. They're in full-blown panic mode because here it goes in verse 38. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, Teacher, don't you care if we drown? They're just freaking out. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Don't you still have faith? They were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Just a couple of fun facts about the Sea of Galilee. The Sea of Galilee is 680 feet below sea level, and it's surrounded by mountains, which actually creates a perfect situation for storms to pop up. And so it's common on the Sea of Galilee for storms to pop up, but to pop up with very little warning. I've been in those situations before where storms have popped up and you haven't expected them. Maybe you have too. It happened when it was our first camping trip with our pop-up trailer. We had tent camped all our life as kids and with my folks. And then in my late childhood years, early teenage years, we went out west with our pop-up camper and we stopped at this nice lakeside camping site in Iowa. Never forget it. It was beautiful, pristine. My brother and I walked out to the water's edge and threw rocks. We had hot dogs. It was a beautiful, scenic moment in the Alice family. It could have been a movie. It could have been a photograph or a postcard. And we went to bed that night and we were all ready to go. And we wondered why there were no other campers right along the water's edge, okay? Everybody else was camping on the other side of the road. And we found out at about 2 o'clock in the morning, because I woke up to this, the walls of our pop-up, basically pop-up camper is a tent on wheels, folks, okay? And I woke up to the walls shaking and lightning and thunder and torrential downpours of rain, and it was crazy. I was freaking out. I was in an absolute panic. My mom and dad woke up. My brother woke up, and we opened the door, and the water from the lake had risen up to the tires of the camper. And I was so upset, and I was so worried. I was throwing up, and I got to the point where I was just dry heaving. It was crazy. I was freaking out. I thought it was the end. And we woke up the next day to realize why all the other campers were on the other side of the road, because the water had crept up into our campsite. But it was a storm we never expected. You ever had that happen in your life, that storm that is unexpected? And maybe it's a physical storm. Maybe it's a tornado or a thunderstorm that you didn't expect. But for a lot of us, it's life storms that come into our life. We feel like life is going well and things are going well. And all of a sudden, out of a nowhere, a storm comes and whacks us. And maybe things are going great at work. You have a great job. You love your job. And all of a sudden, you hear they're starting to lay people off. Or maybe, you know, your marriage is going well, it's smooth sailing, and all of a sudden you found out that your spouse has come home with a bad doctor's report. Storms that just pop up out of nowhere. You think your child is doing fine until the report card comes home, or you hear from a teacher, and then you really get the truth, and you get all concerned, and you get all worried about that. Or maybe you have a pregnancy that's going well, and suddenly there's a complication, and the storms just come out of nowhere. If we're honest as a people, we're good at hiding the storms in our life. We're good at putting a smile on our face, but behind the scenes and behind that smile, there is a storm that nobody may even know about. And oftentimes, we're looking at other people's life, just wishing that we had their life and thinking that their life is better. If we wish we had their car, their job, their situation, because it looks like everything is calm for them. But in reality, on the inside of their life, their marriage is in shambles and they're in financial crisis and a financial mess. Storms happen for everybody. Maybe you're in a storm right now and you find yourself regularly crying yourself to sleep, or you're waking up in the middle of the night afraid and you're going through this private storm. Maybe you feel like you're hanging on by a thread, and even though good things in life are happening, you just feel like you can't keep up. You feel like you can't keep pace. You feel like the boat is just about to be swamped in your life. And like the disciples, you or a person close to you, in a little way or in a big way, there is a storm that you're going through, or there's a storm that they're going through, and you just feel like you're going to be swamped at any minute, and you feel like you're drowning. You feel like you can't catch your breath, and you didn't even see it coming, and it feels like God is asleep at the wheel, or it feels like, well, Jesus is asleep on a nice comfy cushion in the stern of the boat. Here's a couple of things to keep in mind and keep in perspective this day. Two things to remember when you're in the storm. And the first one is this. You're in the storm with His presence. You're in the storm with His presence. Now, we all in this story all get worked up about the idea that Jesus is asleep at the stern, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But here's the bottom line. The good news is that the disciples might have been in a storm, but Jesus was with them in the boat. Who cares if He's asleep or not? He's the God of the universe. And I'd rather have a God who's sleeping in the stern of the boat, who's calm enough to say, I'm not going to sweat this, I'm not going to worry about this, because I've got this, than to have anybody else alive, living, and well, and awake. I'd rather have that moment. Jesus is in the boat with them, and we often look past that. We get stuck on the sleeping thing, but the God of the universe, Jesus, He is in the boat with Him. And if we think that if we're with Jesus and we shouldn't be experiencing any storms and trials and troubles, then we've mistakenly misunderstood the nature of life and the nature of our relationship with God. God has never promised us a safe life. He's never promised us a storm-free life. He's never promised us trials and challenges. And just because you're with God, and in this case, the disciples are with Jesus in the boat, the storm still comes. And the storms are going to come in our life. One of my favorite passages in Scripture is in John 16:33. And the promise is that in this world you will have trouble. But take heart, the other promise is that God has overcome the world. And so the promise is that you will have trials, you will have challenges, you will have troubles. When you come to Jesus, there's no promise in your life that it will be easy. There's no promise in your life that life is going to be storm-free. As a matter of fact, it's just the opposite. It's just the opposite, because when you step from the darkness into the light, there's going to be a spiritual battle that you're going to experience, because you're battling the spiritual forces of darkness that are going to wage war against you. There will be opposition in your life. There will be temptation. There will be struggles. And there are going to be storms that are going to pop up out of nowhere. But when you're in Jesus Christ, you know that Jesus is with you. And though the storms of life may rock you, God's promise is those storms of life will never sink you. Let me say that again. And that's a word for you to hear today. Though those storms of life may rock you, in the name of Jesus Christ, those storms will never sink you. You see, God is for you, and God is with you, and nothing is going to be able to separate you from the presence of God. In Romans chapter 8, we know that nothing is going to separate you from the love of God. Nothing, under no circumstances. And so the storms of life may rock you, but they won't sink you. We have a Jesus Christ in this moment, the God of the universe, that is with them in the boat. And it's a total game changer. But he's asleep on a comfy cushion, relaxing. I love that humorous moment in Mark that he actually describes that not only is he asleep at the stern, but he's on a cushion. You guys ever been in a boat and gone water skiing before, and you got those nice, comfortable, cushiony seats that kind of turn into a life preserver if you need them? And I can just picture Jesus just chilling out on one of those cushions in the back of the boat, and the disciples are like, "Man, what is going on back there?" You know, I wonder in that moment that Jesus is like, he's the God of the world and the universe. He knows what's going on. He's not worried about it. But I also wonder if Jesus is thinking to himself, you guys think this is a storm? Just wait until you experience my final week here on earth. You want to talk about a real storm? We're in the season of Lent, this season of Lent that leads up to Holy Week and Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter as we celebrate the nature and the sacrificial nature of Jesus Christ. And we're reminded that he underwent the greatest storm that anybody could ever possibly go through. On Sunday, a Palm Sunday, he triumphantly enters Jerusalem, and the very people that are shouting his praises and Hosanna in the highest are the same people that begin to betray him throughout the week, including his own disciples. He's betrayed, he's arrested and falsely accused for something that he didn't do. He's put before Pilate, an innocent man, and Pilate believes he's innocent, and he's still turned over to be crucified. And in his crucifixion, he's physically punished, physically tortured, humiliated, spat upon, crushed a crown of thorns pressed upon his head. He carries his own cross. He's crucified and nailed to that cross. And before all that, he's put in Caiaphas's house. He's judged by the Sanhedrin and in a pit and just railroaded. You want to talk about a storm? Jesus is probably thinking, I've got time to nap right now because I'm about to go through a storm. You think this is a storm? Just wait till you see what I'm going to be going through. And so, yeah, he's on that cushion relaxing. But there's power in the fact that Jesus is present in their life. As a matter of fact, there was an article that I've heard about that was written about folk that as they age in their life, people live longer. And as we get older, we learn to live longer if there's something living in our house. This is a true study that was done. That as for older folk, if we have something living in our house, we're going to find ourselves living a little bit longer. Now, it can be something as simple as a house plant. It could be a fern. It could be a dog. It could be a fish. It could be a gerbil. It could be a hamster. It could be a snake. It could even be a cat. A cat might even help you live longer. I mean, I don't know how that's possible, but a cat might even be able to help you live longer. Even a spouse that can't hear anymore, even a spouse that can't even talk to you much anymore, but if there's someone or something living in your house, the study shows that you will live longer. And so I attribute to this fact that if you're in the middle of a bad storm, and if you're struggling, and people are saying to you, how are you making it? And stuff is falling apart all around you, but you're not. You know, you got rocked by the storm, but you're not going under. You've been rocked by the storm, but you're not going to sink. And you know that in your heart. You have this deep assurance of peace, and people want to know how it's possible. Because you say to them, there's somebody living in my house. There's somebody alive and well, and he's living in my house. He happens to be the author of life. He withstood the most hellacious torture that you could ever possibly go through. He died on the cross, the worst possible death you could possibly experience. And oh, by the way, he's raised from the dead. He's alive and well. He's living in my house. How could I not experience peace and joy and blessing in the middle of this storm? You say, this is who's in my house. Who's in yours? And that's how you're able to discover this calm, cool center that people want to know. You have this strength, this sense of his strength. You have this sense of his presence. You have this sense of his power and comfort that God is with me, that God is with me. So don't ever let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt the presence of God. Don't ever do that. And if you feel like that God is not there, he is there. And he may in this moment just be allowing some things to happen in your life that maybe you don't know about. But he's there. Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. It doesn't say when things are bad, he's not around. He's an ever-present help, as a matter of fact, when there's trouble. Hebrews 13:5, God's word reminds us, never will I leave you, God says, never will I forsake you. Psalm 23, verse 4, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. What we need to hear and be reminded about there is, is storms are difficult and the trials are going to come, but the storm is temporary. Notice it says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't say I'm going to live in the shadow of death. I'm going to remain in the valley of the shadow of death. It says, as I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death. It may rock you, but it's not going to sink you. You see, it does not mean that God is not there when you're going through trials or you're in a storm. And so God's word through Jesus Christ is to have no fear because I'm with you in the boat. I'm the author of life and I'm in your house. I'm alive and well and I'm in your house. And so it may rock you, but it's not going to sink you. Let that bring some comfort. I remember a little bit later on as we began to do the camping with a pop-up trailer that on another trip on our way to Myrtle Beach, I think it was the next year, or a couple years later, I was getting old enough to be able to drive. And so I did some driving, hauling the camper down to Myrtle Beach, and my dad was sitting in the passenger seat, and he kind of dozed off and fell asleep. And what happened is, as I was driving, we were in the West Virginia Turnpike, we were in Charleston, and we were transitioning from 64 and also then picking up, I believe that's 77 there. And there's this just crazy connection, and all of a sudden I find myself with some horns honking next to me that I had kind of crowded into the next lane, and I had to pull the wheel real hard to get into the other lane and almost caused a really bad accident, to which my dad woke up to because I jerked the wheel in a car, and he heard the honking horns, and he said, what happened? And I said, well, everything's fine, Dad, nothing. Go back to bed. No, I said, well, it was a kind of a close one, Dad. And he says, well, this is a great learning experience. And what I realized is that my dad was allowing this moment to take hold. He was going to relax in the passenger seat. He was even going to relax to the point where he fell asleep to allow me to experience the trials and challenges of towing a camper on the road so that I could become a better driver. And I learned from that experience, but my dad trusted me enough to be asleep on the side there. And that leads us to the second thing that we need to be reminded of when we're in the middle of the storms is that, first of all, you're in the storm with his presence. And secondly, you're in the storm for his purposes. What you need to understand is that this was a boat trip or a road trip that was Jesus's idea. Jesus was the one that said, let's row to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Let's go to the other side. He knew that there would be a storm that was going to blow up. And so it wasn't like he was causing them to try to avoid a storm. He was actually asking them to go into the storm. And so the disciples were not in the storm because they were out of his will. Is it possible that the disciples were in the storm because they were in his will? And they were following along with what Jesus said and what Jesus commanded. Now, I can't tell you if God caused that storm. I don't know exactly if he allowed that storm. We use different language. But the bottom line is that just because you're going through a storm in your life, it doesn't mean that you're outside of God's will. It may be a plan that God is working in your life because somehow maybe he wants to do a new work. He wants to allow this whole process to unfold in your life. I can tell you that God always uses storms in our life to do a work in us. In James, actually, the author writes, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials or storms of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's one of the most paradoxical scriptures, I believe, in all of God's word. It's just crazy. Have joy in trials. When you're going through a trial, have joy. It's not the first thing that our human mind goes to. It's not the first thing that stirs in our human heart. And he says it's this crazy notion to rejoice in the storm. Why? Because it's an opportunity for God to do a test in us, for God to move us to the next level of faith in us, for God to develop perseverance and courage and character in our life. So take joy in God's maturation process that could be happening as a result of this storm. That's what teachers do when they want to move you into the next grade. They test you. And it's through that test that they help you understand that they're able to promote you to the next level to see if you're ready for that next level. And God, in his great love, allows us to experience these storms as potentially a test for our faith to promote us to the next level of belief or the next level of maturity in our relationship with him that allows a production of perseverance and strength in our life that really nothing else can. That you can't get from reading a book or just praying, but experiencing the trials and challenges of life and watching God show up as a result of those trials and challenges. God wants to grow you and mature you in faith. And he does that in many different ways. He does that through his word, through reading the Bible. He does that through praying. He does that by using our spiritual gifts to bless others. And yes, he does that by using the storms in our life to do a new work in our life. Perhaps in this moment, being asleep is letting the disciples experience something that's going to allow them to grow. Perhaps my dad being asleep in the passenger seat is allowing me to experience something that I'm going to need to grow, these trials and these challenges. Or maybe you're in a driver's seat, or maybe you're in a boat ride, but God is going to use that storm to grow us. Some of the greatest spiritual stalwarts of all time, like Gandhi, you know, Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, the Rick Warrens of the world, these folk, they experience storms and trials, and their world has been rocked by storms, and they've experienced God's faithfulness, and they know that there's purpose in those storms, that He's doing something in them. And that's what we need to realize, that God is doing something in us. He's teaching us a way that we're not going to be able to learn any other way. He's teaching us something in our life that we need to know that we're not going to learn any other way but to go through these storms and to go through these trials. Our family, we've experienced storms in our life, particularly around our daughter Isabel. And you know the trials and challenges, most of you know, of Apert syndrome that she has. And it causes a lot of surgeries. And she's had a lot of surgeries in her young life. And there have been seasons and times in her life where we've rushed her off to the emergency, off to the hospital, through Life Flight and through ambulances. And we didn't know if we were going to have her the next day. And there's trials and challenges that she continues to experience from time to time, and she'll continue to experience for the rest of her life. But it's through those trials, it's through those storms, that God has proven Himself faithful, that God has built up our family, that God has developed in us a certain amount of perseverance. He's grown our faith, and He's reminded us of His sovereign nature, His provisional nature, in a way that we wouldn't be able to know had we not gone through those trials and storms. Am I talking to some of the right people here today? I mean, that you have to go through the storm in order to be able to have your faith be built in powerful and new ways. And some of you are going through some of those right now. And let those be an opportunity to be reminded that though we're in the storm, God is in the boat with us. And though we might be rocked by the storm isn't going to sink us. And there's times where we felt like God was asleep at the wheel, but we had to learn something in the process. There's times where maybe we felt like God is asleep in the stern of the boat, but there's just an opportunity for us to learn in those moments. What would it have looked like for Jesus to be awake in that moment and for Him to calm the storm before the disciples ever experienced it? They would have lost out on an opportunity to be reminded of God's provisional nature. They would have lost out on an opportunity to know what it's like to go through struggles and trials and to be able to develop perseverance and character in those moments. We might not know why these things are allowed. We might not know if God causes these things. I don't know if He's allowed or caused Apert syndrome. All I know is it's a part of our life. But I know that He's used this storm in Isabel's life and in our life to make us better and to grow us together as a family and to grow faith in our lives like we wouldn't have in any other circumstance. We are different because we've gone through the storms with Jesus in our boat. Now, the disciples find themselves in full-blown panic mode. They're just crying out because we're going to drown, and many of us felt like that about our life. We've felt like we're going to drown. They say when a baby is born, they experience two fears. I think one of them is loud noises, and by the time we're adults, we experience 7,000 different fears. Oh, my goodness. And in all that process, we've developed all this concern, all this worry, and all this fear. And the disciples are feeling all that in this moment. And so what did Jesus do in the middle of their fears? What did He do in the middle of the storms of their life? The Bible tells us that He rebukes the wind and He calms the wave. And when He does that, the storm quiets and all is quiet. And then He asks the disciples a loving question. I don't think He was angry. I think He was just loving on them to say, hey, listen, why are you guys so afraid? You know, why have you lost your faith in this moment? Don't be so afraid. And the disciples are freaking out as they rub their eyes at this miracle, at who this is. And during the storm, they called Him teacher. Why wouldn't they call Him teacher? Because Jesus got done teaching. He just finished up teaching, and now they're in the boat. But by the time the storm is done, they're no longer calling Him teacher. They're rubbing eyes at what He's done, and now they're calling Him Lord. Now they're calling Him Lord. And so in this moment, the fear of the storm grew into a holy fear of the Lord. They're like, whoa, what a miracle. He is an amazing and powerful God. And so in this case, the storms of life for the disciples allowed for them to experience God's miracle. And you can't have a miracle unless you have a problem. A problem is a prerequisite to a miracle. And how can you experience God's divine provision in your life if you don't go through a trial? And it's because of this trial, it's because of this storm in this moment, that there is a transfer of fear from their happenings to a holy awe-filled fear of the Lord their God. They actually realize who he is. Why? Because he performed a miracle right in front of their eyes. Why? Because there was a storm. And so if you're in a storm right now, Jesus is asking you, why are you so afraid? God is with you in the boat, and not just any God, but a God through who went through everything that he did for you in Jesus Christ, who went through torture, who went through everything that humanity could possibly throw at him, anything the enemy could ever throw at him, and he defeated all of that. He defeated the criticism. He defeated the worry. He defeated the betrayals. He defeated the crucifixion, pain, and suffering. He defeated even death on the cross. He was raised from the dead in victory. And so why would we have fear? Because this is our God, who's not just in our corner. He's in the boat of life with us. He's in the passenger seat of life with us. He's right there in life, going through life. And it's time for us to move him from the passenger seat into the driver's seat and let God take control. He is a God who is for us. He's a God who's working all things to his good in our life. He's there to build our faith and through trials to develop perseverance in our life, through the storms to mature us to the next level. And so in the storm, you may be afraid because the boat feels like it may sink. But suddenly, your hope is no longer in the boat. You find your soul anchored. Your soul is anchored in the Lord. Oh, by the way, the one who changes everything, you now realize, is in the boat with you. And so the question is, why are you so afraid? Paul writes these words, and I'll close with this. For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but he's given us a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Praise be to God. A couple of action steps for you. Number one, if you are in a storm, cry out to God in prayer. He is right there with you. Cry out to God in prayer. That's exactly what the disciples did. And when they cried out to God, Jesus sprung into action. Number two, be open to a new work God may be doing in you. Be open to a new work that God may be doing in you. He may be wanting to do something new, developing your faith, growing your perseverance, developing your courage, and let it be an opportunity to watch patiently and wait patiently for his miracle. And so you can discover all over again just how powerful your God is. I want to invite you to move into a time of prayer right now. This is a chance for us to reflect on all that God is teaching us and sharing with us. There are prayer cards in front of you in the seat backs. You can fill one of those out with a joy or concern, and you can bring those forward and put them at the altar area at either side of me. If you'd like some extended time of prayer, you could remain here at the altar. If you'd like one of us to pray with you, I'd be happy to do that, or maybe you'd just like to stay right where you are. But let this be an opportunity where you just go to God with whatever storm is in your life, and you say, God, let me be reminded that you're in the boat with me, and oh God, do a new work in me. Oh God, reveal your powerful supernatural nature and do an amazing miracle and remind me and everybody around me through this storm of who you are. Let's pray together.
Lord, we greet you. We thank you for another day, another opportunity to live out this life well. Thank you that you greet us with a new start and open arms and great love. May we be used as you wish today. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, good morning. My name is Erin Alice, and it's been so nice to be with you today. We hope you have been blessed by this time. I want to invite you to remove from your bulletin your connection card. We appreciate each of you filling this out each week. Those of us who call Rolling Plains take this out on Sunday mornings and mark our name and the service we attended so that we can let folks know that we are glad to be passing through the doors and be here with each other. If you're a guest with us today, we're so glad to have you. We want to welcome you. And if you're a first-time guest, we invite you to stop by either of the tables at the back of the sanctuary. We have a gift we'd like to send home with you. We also invite you to join us by completing all the information on the front of the card, including your cell phone number if we may reach you by text messaging. That way we can keep you up to date about all the things happening in the life of the church. You can check out our Facebook page. You can find us on the internet and check out all the opportunities we have coming up here in the future at Rolling Plains. And on the back of the card are a few that we'd like to bring to your attention today while we're here together. Above all else, we want to make sure that you know that even though we're about to celebrate Easter, and we are going to be talking about Jesus' birth and his life and his death and his resurrection, that's really